Our mission statement, building the beloved community with compassion, service, and empowerment, encompasses why this church must exist. And this morning, we are celebrating those in our congregation who are living this mission and who bear the living tradition of our community. We have been collecting your stories of giving, serving, and living here at the Unitarian Society of Germantown through the years. And today we would like to highlight a few of these stories. Please understand that these are just a few of the many beautiful stories in our beloved community. Perhaps yours will be added to them in the years to come. Building the beloved community. Our first story is about building our beloved community, and it comes to us from Barbara McDowell Dowdle, who is a cradle and hopefully to grave member of our congregation. Her words are as follows, and they speak for themselves. In the 1980s, Reverend Bill Gardner initiated a year-long series of services, programs, and discussions on whether the congregation would agree to approve of his conducting services of union for gay and lesbian couples in this sanctuary. He had previously limited such ceremonies to his office or the Sullivan Chapel. I offered assistance as a board member with the dual goal of providing affirmation to my gay brother-in-law and setting an example for my young children. The resolution passed overwhelmingly, and I followed up by participating in efforts to move us toward becoming an official welcoming congregation in the denomination. After several years of meetings, seminars, special Sunday services, initiatives like providing space for the Philadelphia's fledgling chapter of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Teachers, later Education Network, and even a two-car caravan to the 1993 Gay Rights March in Washington, D.C. After what seemed like an inordinate amount of paperwork, the congregation voted to be and was accepted as a fully welcoming congregation. Our proud certificates are mounted on the walls of the narthex and the dining room. You may note that not all categories of LGBT are included thereon, and I eagerly anticipate our congregation in its current configuration, working soon to update and complete our dedication to inclusivity and celebration. I want to thank Barbara for sharing this. She has given so much to this congregation, not the least of which was participating in the Christmas pageant years ago.
Our next area that we'll be talking about this morning is compassion. One area where we as a beloved community shine is showing and acting on our compassion for others. We received many stories of compassion, and the one we will share this morning is a very recent testament to the collective heart of this community. This comes from Kenneth and Catherine Chambers, and their words speak so beautifully for themselves. June of 2013 delivered a double-edged sword to the Chambers family. We were blessed with the release of our son from Success Rehab after a long road of recovery from an automobile accident. However, shortly after Kenny came home, we received the news of Catherine's illness and her impending surgery. It was all so sudden, and much had to be arranged. Once chemotherapy started with Catherine, everything went downhill. She felt sick all the time and found it difficult to care for her family. Kenneth couldn't cook, so what were they to do? However, after Catherine informed the choir that due to her illness, she would not be joining them for a while, she received a call from the chairperson of the caring committee, suggesting that meals be delivered twice a week. It was truly a blessing and a big load off Catherine's mind, who was concerned for her family, especially once she went into the hospital. Delicious meals were delivered, and the male members of the family were fed before, during, and after Catherine's hospital stay. Male members were stressed, as Catherine had little or no appetite at the time. She received many cards from many people. Whoops, I'm sorry. My pages are out of order. Just one second. Do you have the page? Why don't I have that page? Thank you, my dear. She received many calls from members of the church to cheer her along and offers of help. Reverend Kent visited her in the hospital, and she also got to visit with some of the church members when they delivered the meals. It was nice, since she hadn't been to church in a while. This story ends with Catherine recovering and feeling much better since regaining her appetite, and the Chambers family being thankful this Thanksgiving for the kindness and generosity of the USG members who came to the aid of their family. Thank you for your story, Kenneth and Catherine.
Our reading this morning is by Rudy Nemzer, who was a Unitarian Universalist minister in our community. Somebody help me out. Was it Restoration? Cherry Hill. And an incredible activist in social justice and integrating that with the spirituality we all seek. Long haul people. They happen in churches when you're lucky. Other places too, though I mostly only know ecclesiastical varieties. Long haul people upon whose shoulders and pocketbooks and casseroles and daytime, nighttime hours, a church is built. And more important, maintained after the brass is tarnished and cushions need restitching. For long haul people, bless a church with a very special blessing. Many people who join our church cite service as something that drew them into our community. When the service call comes, we rise to the occasion. Here is one story sent by Linda Bernstein, and her words tell it so well. Jack and Gloria Armstrong were active RE parents of two young daughters when Jack contracted ALS, often referred to as Lou Gehrig's disease. The girls were about 4 and 8. He bravely announced his illness to the congregation from the front of the church. Jack kept working as a social worker, helped by our fundraising efforts to buy a wheelchair van so he could drive himself to work. USG fundraisers also helped the family install a wheelchair-accessible bathroom and a ramp on the first floor of their house. Eventually, Jack could no longer work. USG families provided meals for the Armstrongs every weekday for about 2 years. I remember all the Tupperware containers being exchanged in the kitchen every Sunday. Jack died after about 4 years of illness. Family and friends were invited to go to the house for a final farewell to Jack the evening before he died. Then we had a huge celebration of his life, at which Reverend Marguerite Lovett returned to co-officiate with our then new minister, Reverend Nina Gray. I believe we raised about $70,000 for the family. I was board president during some of that time. Jack was posthumously awarded the USG Congregational Award for bravely confronting his illness and living life to the fullest. Thank you for sharing that story with us today, Linda. One of the things that this story focuses on are giving to each other in this community. A lot of us as individuals and through our various networks give a lot of service to the community, whether it's professionally or in our volunteer capacity. And that's a very strong component of what we bring to share with one another. Another mention too large to omit is our huge service effort on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Every January, a group of volunteer organizers sees months' worth of hard work and planning come to fruition as hundreds of people gather at USG for a day of service to the community. Projects from letter writing, painting, cleaning up, providing music at a convalescent center, among others, are undertaken as people come together to serve the community in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. And you'll be hearing more about our MLK Day in January very soon.